This morning, I'd like you to turn to Hebrews 12th chapter. And we're going to read, really going to look into verse 2 today, but we'll read verse 1 with it since the beginning. They go together. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We're going to look at verse 2, looking into Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's my topic this morning. The Lord brought this to my attention about looking for Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And I think that when we read it, sometimes we just say, well, looking for Jesus. But we should be looking. We should be looking not with physical eyes for Jesus, but with the spiritual eyes of understanding. To get into his word and read about Jesus in this book here, as written in the volume of the book about him. That's what, to me, means looking for Jesus. And with the eyes of understanding, we're going to go to Ephesians. Now, these are familiar verses. Ephesians 1, 17 and 18. Ephesians 1, 17 and 18. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. So as our eyes are enlightened, we see now has become the spiritual sight of Christ. We see Christ through spiritual eyes. We want our eyes to be focused on him. And as they're focused upon Christ, they can become very enlightened, for he is the light. So it enlightens us, and as he, which we know at first, when we're first saved, it is but a glimmering. We just see a little bit of Christ. We're not sure, we don't understand a lot yet. But once you read the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, ask the Holy Spirit to regard the Word to you, to your heart, by yielding to the Holy Spirit, you study God's Word. We know that God gives the increase, not man. Man can do nothing for himself. He can't give himself increase. He can't get a step up into heaven by himself. Man can do nothing. But God gives the increase. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm sure many of these verses here are so familiar that can be quoted, and we've read them over many times for different times. 1 Corinthians 3 and 6 and 7. He says, Paul says, well, in 5 he said, then who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? He says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. And then I want to drop down to verse 22 in the same chapter. Well, let's read Now let's read verse 19. For the wisdom in this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. God sees everything. They're not wise in God's sight by any means. In verse 20, and again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise. They are vain. They are empty. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come are all yours, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God's. So we see that the scriptures here, that God does give the increase. But in order for God to give the increase, you have to study his word. You have to yield to his word. You have to yield to the Holy Spirit. You have to be willing to completely surrender yourself unto the Holy Spirit, unto God, unto Jesus Christ, full service, complete service. Be willing to be a servant in completeness unto them, unto Christ. That's the only way. There's no other way. Christ says he's the way, the truth, and the life. And we know that this is marvelous, and sometimes it's surprising to us, but it transforms into the image of Jesus Christ. Now we know that the Christ life that dwells within us and each one here, I'm sure, it has to start with the yielding. You have to want that life of Christ in you. You desire it. You hunger for it. You must feed upon it. Let's go to I get to my notes here. And it fills with joy unspeakable and full of glory. But I want to read Romans 12:12 first about the transforming. I'll read Romans 12. We're going to start in verse 1. But 2 is the one I really want. We might go a little further than that. I don't know yet. There's so much here. It's hard to just stop and start from point to point. Verse 1, chapter 12, Romans. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present or yield your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world or to this age, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable in the perfect will of God. Perfect will of God, the complete will of God, the complete will of God in your life. That's how it's transformed, by the will of God, by the Holy Spirit, by the working of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by his word that dwells within us and grows in us. And as that word grows, the life of Christ grows within us. Because what we want to do is we want to be good and acceptable and complete with the will of God. Because as we know, before the fall, or after the fall, we're not, and when we're born, we're not in the will of God. And if we read 1 Peter 1:8, again, this is familiar. Everything I got here is very familiar, I know. Let's start in verse 3 of 1 Peter 1. Blessed be the God and our Father, Lord of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That the trial of your faith eternal value, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, and whom thou, though now you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Whom having not seen, ye love, and in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing. Faith. Faith for faith. Faith renders faith. So simply believing, you should rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. This should cause you to be so joyful in your walk with the Lord, it should bring you nothing but joy. Now, I know we have trials and afflictions that come our way, but you know what? That still should be joyful. It should bring joy, increase your joy, because the Lord is perfecting you. He's trying to make you complete in him. We should always be looking to Christ. In other words, not looking at the things that distract us. And we can see this by seeing what the Apostle Paul says in Philippians. And you all know this too. There's so much that Paul talks about. He wanted us to keep our eyes upon Christ constantly. Paul went over and reiterated over and over in his letters about keeping your eye upon Christ. Nothing else. Philippians 3. I'm going to go down to verse 7 and 8. You know these very well. He says, but what things were gained to me, though I count loss for Christ? Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency, for the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I am suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And he says, and be found in him, Christ, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And then I want to go to verse 13, same chapter, Philippians 3. He says in verse 11, if by any means, let's start in 10, that I may know him in the power of resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, be made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead or out of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The high calling, the upward call. Paul says that I might attain or I might arrive. We all want to be where we keep our eyes upon our Lord Jesus Christ at all times, in all things. We all know we got to live here, we got to work here, we got to survive here. But the bottom line is, Jesus Christ is taking care of all this. This is all his anyway. It's all him. So let him do the work. Because you know what? He won the victory at the cross. We don't have to worry about it anymore. Shouldn't worry ourselves about this world and the things of the world and even the people that tend to bother us in this world and try to draw us away from Jesus. Stand tall. Be proud that you are a follower of Jesus Christ. Paul says, forget those things which are behind, press towards the mark. In Isaiah 45:22, I got it here, I'll just read it to you. It reads like this: Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. Our God, our Heavenly Father, how gracious is He. He made and gave the ultimate provision through His beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Savior, to become the author of eternal salvation. The author of eternal salvation. It started with Jesus. And we're going to find out it's going to end with Jesus. Let's turn to Psalms 138:8. Verse 7, he goes, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thy hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and the right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thy own hands. The Lord endureth, lasteth forever. Endureth forever. The Lord is forever. God is constant. He will be here. He is the creator of all things. There is none beside him. Many men try to believe in all kinds of things, and I really can't understand why man would bother or worry himself, concern himself, follow after things that just don't make sense, that have no revelation whatsoever, don't have no concept of, a glorious coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's no end. This world is going to end, and that's it. It's done with. The Lord's going to create a new heaven and earth, because this earth is terrible, full of sin. It's a lost earth. The Lord knew it. The Lord knew it before the foundation of the world. He knew that he was going to have to send a sacrifice, his own son, willing to come all the way from glory, all the way down, to lift us all the way up. So it just boggles my mind. Now I can see people not being saved and they're kind of wandering around and everything, and it's for us to speak the gospel to them, tell them about Jesus, let them know about him. But they have to make a choice. Do you follow the world and live for today? Or do you follow Christ and live for all eternity? With the chance and the right to reign with Christ. He's not only give you eternal life. I mean, if that was all there was, that's fantastic. Because people want to live forever, but they don't accept Christ. So these people wander around thinking they're putting all these creams and everything else on them to live forever. And they're going to take these pills and do all this stuff to live forever. They're not. And it's foolishness. And you know, I'm sure it just bothers the Father that ones just don't want to come to Him. They just don't want to know His Son. I mean, He made the ultimate provision. Let's go to Philippians again, and we're going to read chapter 1, and I'll just start in verse 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you and peace from our God our Father, and from, which was left out in the original text, and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Paul loved the saints. He was always praying for them. He always remembered them in every prayer. in his letters. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. See, Paul here wanted the joy. He wanted them to know the joy that he has found. The joy that was bestowed upon him on the road to Damascus when the Lord turned him about face. He says, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. He says, but being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. We should be completely confident in this. He says, be very confident. I can read it different, being very confident of this thing. He's really emphasized very confident. And we should be. And praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. It's all about him. I said this before. Now I want to go to Hebrews. Back to Hebrews. And we're going to read second chapter in Hebrews. And I'm going to start in verse 3. Hebrews 2, verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come whereof we speak, but in one certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownedest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we have not seen yet all things put under him. Our Lord Jesus Christ, made lower than the angels. But the Father said, I has put all things in subjection under his feet. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both that he sanctifieth, and they that are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Think about this. The captain of their salvation, our salvation. And it says what? Perfect through sufferings. The captain, the leader, the originator. The one who initiates and carries through. In other words, the author. Jesus, looking to Jesus, the author, and also the finisher of our faith. This being the work of the Omnipotent One, in an instance of exceeding greatness of power, mercy, and most precious grace of our Heavenly Father. Think about it. In an instant, not over a long period of time he didn't do this. He did this in an instant with exceeding greatness of power, with all his mercy and all his grace. And Jesus being our wonderful Savior, a complete servant of God unto his Father, we have mercy. And we have grace. All because of him. In Revelations 1:8 and verse 8 and verse 11, Jesus tells us that he is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And also in Revelations 22:13, Jesus says this, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Right? The first and the last. There's no other. You don't need no other. He's the first and the last. All you need to know is about Jesus. You want to know about Jesus? Read the Bible. It's completely about him. And I love Paul because he just, every letter, it's about Christ. Every letter is about the grace, the mercy of our Heavenly Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. Think about it. You've got to be looking for Jesus. That means leaving everything else, forget everything else. Don't look over to the left or right. Keep your eye out right on the prize, right on Jesus Christ. I want to read two more verses, well, actually, maybe five. I want to go to Titus. I'm going to read verse chapter 2 of Titus, and I want to read 10 through 13. I really want to read this, so I'm going to read it. Not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of our God, of God our Savior, in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation, what? Hath appeared to all men. Wow, imagine that, all men. Think about it. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world or this present age. And why? Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And it says, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works, God's possession. These things speak and exhort, rebuke with all authority, and let no man despise thee. Pretty good message right there. I'm not going to get into it, but you can think about it. And I'm going to close one more time. I know, Philippians, because I love Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. I know there's a reason why I didn't read those scriptures further down, because I saved them to the end. Philippians 1, I'm going to read 9, 10, and 11. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere without offense till the day of Christ. This is my prayer for you today. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and the praise of God. This is what I want to say to you today at the end, that you be filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ and the glory and praise of God. I could have gone a lot more into the detail about this. We'd be here a lot longer if I'd have brought all the verses I wanted to explain this. And I just say one thing, may God continue to bless you. And may you stay in the Word of God and look unto the Holy Spirit for guidance. And keep your eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one, the only one. Any questions or comments?